And after a few days of overcast, gloomy conditions, most of the region enjoying full sunlight on this Wednesday. A similar day last week tempted Robert Ginsburg to leave the indoors, hop on his bicycle, and ride to the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, located on the Springdale-Fayetteville border. His trip and his discoveries follow.
Robert Ginsburg here, rogue reporter for Ozarks at Large. I'm on my bike today and heading up the trail from downtown Fayetteville to the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, taking advantage of one of those wonderful January days in northwest Arkansas where the temperature is in the upper 50s, the sun is out, the wind is still, and it's a great day to be on the trail. But I have a mission. I want to see what goes on at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks during their off season. The Botanical Garden, of course, is located right on the line between Fayetteville and Springdale, just off of 265 adjacent to Lake Fayetteville, and they are officially open 11 months a year, with January being their down month. But there's a lot that goes on those down months and the winter months, and all of it in preparation to creating the wonderful gardens that you see in the spring and in the summer and the fall. So I'm going to take advantage of this day and do about the 10 or 11 mile bike ride up from Poplar Street up to the Botanical Gardens, and we'll talk with Gerald Klingemann and see who else we can scare up. Kind of surprised there's not that many people on the trail today. As gorgeous as it is, here's some folks. Hello.
After arriving at the Botanical Gardens, I meet up with Gerald Klingemann, a former horticulture professor, retired, who is now the director of operations. Among his other duties, Gerald oversees construction projects at the Botanical Gardens.
Gerald, it looks like you've neared completion on a wonderful project here. Why don't you tell me about it?
Oh, this is our new wetland bridge walkway, and it's a walkway that goes through our wetlands. When we have a stormwater flood, it collects and then drains away as it dries out, and so it'll be a connector for the streamside trail that's under development now too.
When there was heavy rains, this was an area that was just inaccessible before, so you've built this walkway that kind of meanders through an area that floods, and this will keep everybody above the fray. Why don't we walk out on here and you can tell me a little bit more about the construction and what's on either side of the trail.
This is one of the composite wood bridges, and it's just built so that it comes out right at flood stage. When the pond is completely full, the water will be just right at the top of the bridge. So that'll give a nice interaction. Then we've got it planted with cattails and some hibiscus and other plants that will tolerate flooding. They'll flood, then the water goes away, and the plants just go on fine. And we've got a number of those kinds of species along here. This little area is under development. We've got a couple things planned. One, we'd like to have a bird viewing area. Susan Regan is interested in putting that in, and it'll probably be in this area. And then the other thing that we want to do is we want to have a suspension bridge at this point that goes across the stream so that there can be a circle between this bridge and a bridge we have further down the way.
And we're looking across to the southern field, which is where the farmer's market is staged during the months that it's in operation.
Right. The farmer's market is just now actually operating on the weekends, and they're doing a winter market as a test and see how that works. And so they're every Saturday morning from 10 till 2, I believe. And so far, they've been seem to be having pretty good attendance at the market. That whole field on the south side of the creek is open at the moment, but later this spring, hopefully in the next 4 to 6 weeks, we'll be getting our first big shipment of shade trees that'll go into the arboretum planting we've got scheduled for there. I enjoy the plants. That's a first passion, but I've always liked to build things, and that's one of the things I enjoy about this place is there's a limitless number of projects that can be undertaken, and at the moment, we're building the other lean-to on our educational annex. A little barn is actually the first timber frame building that was built on the site back, I believe, in 2000. They put it up. Last summer, we hired a building mover, and he brought it across the stream and located it in the children's garden. And so now we're adding another wing to it so that it will, if we do have a lot of kids out here and have a rain, they've got a place they can get out of the rain. So it's just more covered space for us. And we'll use it in a lot of our educational programming.
I followed Gerald onto the roof of the annex to the educational facility, where he's installing plywood and cutting blocking using a nail gun driven by a 35-year-old air compressor that you hear quacking in the background.
It looks like you're on the home stretch here. You're about to get the roof on. The framework is there. You've got the nail guns out.
Gerald's done all this in the last 2 days. He's fast. He's very fast.
Well, I try to keep my thumb out of the way. It'll be ready, certainly, by the time we get the first classes out here.
Next, I'm off to the greenhouse, where I meet up with the horticulture team. Lissa Morrison and Holly Shields are part of the winter crew, and Susan Regan is the director of garden design and management.
It looks like there's a lot going on here. Why don't you fill me in on what the winter activities in the greenhouse entail?
Well, first thing that we do is we dig up a lot of plants. And so half of the greenhouse right now is things that we harvest off of, you know, make new cuttings off of, save, you know, to put back out in large form each year. And then the other half of the greenhouse goes into production. We haven't really gone into high production yet. We're getting ready to start all our seedlings and all our cuttings. And we plan the year as we go along. We don't have the thing. If you asked me what it's going to look like this year, I would not be able to tell you. I might be able to tell you, you know, some of the plants that we hope to grow, but it's always a surprise. But we do try to change it up every year. And the fact that we do all our own growing, we can really control that.
Pretty soon here, we'll go into high production with the cuttings and the seeds that we start. And that's when we get to go through the catalogs and get excited about some new look or new plant or new perennial that we hope to put out in the garden to inspire people to garden at home.
Can you walk me around the greenhouse and show me some of the things that you're involved in here now?
Sure. So on our mist bench right now, what we have started are the beginning of December, some seedlings got started that we want to have ready for the early spring. So there's some snapdragons, some ranunculus, and then we started some vegetables for a new little greenhouse that we built just to kind of have some winter interest as far as vegetables go. So we started some mustard, spinach, kale, and Swiss chard.
So these are all laid out on a metal rack here on sawhorses, and this is the misting apparatus up above it?
Yes. It comes on every minute. It goes off like maybe just for 2 seconds. It's just enough to keep the soil moist. And then underneath them we have heating pads just to give them that bottom heat.
Continuing on now, we're getting into some plants that it looks like maybe you've pulled in from outdoors.
Yes, we do a lot of digging up in the fall before any hard freezes happen. What you're looking at here is coleus, some lantana, some flowering maple. We do all sorts of plants. And then what we do, we use these as mother plants. So we're going to take cuttings off of them to get the numbers we want for out in the gardens. It's a way to money saver, number one. And then also you just have larger plants to start with whenever you go out in the spring. We'll have bigger plants to, you know, start March and April off with.
We're in the winter vegetable garden right next to the chicken coop with Susan Jenkins. This is your responsibility during the season, but here you are in January. What's going on in the winter garden?
Well, of course, not much is going on in the winter garden, although the spinach still looks pretty good and some of the herbs are looking fabulous. But right now what I'm doing is preparing the beds for next year. And what I'm doing is raking off any mulch that we have on top and putting a layer of cardboard. Worms seem to love cardboard, so we're putting down a layer of cardboard, and then I put mulch on top of that again, and the cardboard breaks down, and hopefully the worms will come, and in the spring, then we'll rake the whole deal off, and we'll be ready to start planting. But right now, we're just putting the beds to bed.
One can't help but be impressed with the ingenuity of the crew at the botanical gardens. Armed with hand tools and a small Kubota tractor and a little John Deere four-wheeler, they accomplish more than seems humanly possible at times.
Yes, so we love this John Deere because it does a lot of work for us. It has made a huge difference. We get a lot more done.
Little four-wheeler.
Yes, it's got a dump on the back, which means we dump our trash easily. It's wonderful.
Reporting from the Botanical Gardens of the Ozarks for Ozarks at Large, this is Robert Ginsburg.
Robert Ginsburg can also be heard each Friday night and Saturday night on KUAF at 10 with his program Shades of Jazz. Of course, if you bike to the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, you have to bike back.
So delightful to be able to make this trek on my bike without hardly having to get out on the street with traffic. Oh, there's a dog off his leash. Watch it, Pooch. Move your assets off the trail.